Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This devotional is titled, Coping with Despair. A leading political figure has forecast a very dark winter in terms of the ongoing effects of the pandemic. A foreboding despair is settling over much of the world as the coronavirus continues to spread. And Christians are not exempt as the rain falls on both the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45. Christians are not exempt from facing the experience of despair. Paul dealt with it as brought out in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8 says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." This was a really rough season for Paul, so much so that he says, "We despaired even of life." Despaired means no passage. There was no way out. This was truly a life-threatening situation that looked like it was going to kill him. He actually thought he was going to die. The phrase "burden beyond measure" means he was weighed down beyond all human ability. This was a weight dropped on him that he simply could not carry or hold up under. It was above strength, meaning he didn't have the strength to deal with it. It was too much for him. But note how Paul dealt with this overwhelming despair. 2 Corinthians 1:9, "Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." The word "sentence" is a formal word, normally referring to an official resolution that decides a matter. It was like an official death sentence was handed down to him. This was deadly serious, no pun intended. The situation was so dire that there was no human way of escape, no way out, and death was inevitable unless God intervened. Note the words of Paul in context used to describe affliction in relation to the believer's struggle. Verse 4, tribulation. Verse 4, trouble. Verse 5, sufferings. Verse 6, afflicted. Verse 8, burdened. Verse 8, despaired. Verse 9, sentence of death. But note what happened. This dire situation drove Paul to trust not in himself, but in God who raises the dead. This was an impossible situation. These kinds of circumstances force us to look away from ourselves and to God. It forces us to depend upon God. God often uses these impossible situations for just this reason. God's purpose in overwhelming affliction is often meant to drive us to trust in Him alone. God often takes His saints so low that we can no longer rely on ourselves at all, but rather must trust in God who raises the dead. The phrase "God who raises the dead" emphasizes that with God all things are possible. He is the God who can do the humanly impossible. And as Paul put his trust in God alone, note his testimony of what happened. Verse 10 says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and who does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us." This verse has deliverance written all over it. The God who raises the dead is a God of deliverance from deadly threatening situations. Paul says, "He delivered us from so great a death." He did it. We didn't do it. Man didn't do it. This was God's supernatural intervention. Sometimes God allows the sentence of death to come on His children just so that He might glorify Himself in deliverance. Paul's testimony is that God did it, and He is presently doing it, and he trusts that He will yet so deliver in the future as well. So note, delivered us from so great a death, past, does deliver us, present. We trust that He will still deliver us, future. Verse 11, "You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." Paul, over and over in his ministry, knew deliverance from great peril. Here he brings out that prayer was a big part of it. God delivers, and He often does it in response to prayer. Prayer helps. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer moves the sovereign hand of God according to His will. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:16. When verse 11 speaks of the gift, Greek charisma, granted, the gift granted, in context it seems to be in reference to God's gracious sparing of Paul's life. The full orb thought then is that God delivers in answer to prayer to the end that many who have interceded may then give thanks. God is glorified in delivering his people in answer to prayer. He is glorified in us worshiping him in thanksgiving for what he has done. Thanksgiving acknowledges what he has done and that we are grateful. Let's not forget to thank him when he answers. Tribulation, trouble, and suffering causes us to trust in God and drives us to prayer. When God answers by bringing comfort and consolation, he is glorified in our thanksgiving. Our God is a delivering God, the God of all comfort. Suffering is the believer's platform to showcase God's power. In answer to prayer, God delivers. Sometimes he removes the problem, and sometimes he delivers us home to heaven. But in the end, deliverance is always achieved in one way or another. And in the process, God continually proves himself to be the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Lord, we thank you that you're the God of all comfort. Where do we find our comfort? In times of despair and when life is overwhelming, circumstances are overwhelming. Lord, we trust in you. We must come back and say, this is too much for us. We need a higher power. We need your power. And Lord, in that you work in answer to prayer according to your will and your purpose for our lives. And in the process, you're always the God of all comfort. Lord, comfort your people today. Use us for your glory. May our light shine brightly, even in challenging times, as we trust in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.